and welcome to From the Horse's Mouth. PK is off, so it's Paddy Power here in the hot seat. A huge weekend of racing ahead. So this is the second of our two podcasts. This one, on which I'm joined by Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey, is to preview all the action from Leopardstown on both days of the Dublin Racing Festival. Yesterday, we released a show with Matt Chapman and Frank covering the big UK racing over the weekend. So make sure you tune into that one too. And just one more thing to tell you about to tune into. It's our Dublin Racing Festival Rewind show with Paul Carberry. Myself and Ruby sat down with Paul in a very swanky cinema, the Stella, and looked back on his two wins and what's now the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. And it's up on the Paddy Power YouTube channel now, and there's a link to it in the show notes as well. It's a great watch, so to be sure to give it a look and whet the appetite for all this weekend's racing. Right, now on with the tipping. So let's see, it's going to start off at Leopardstown on Saturday because we're going to be in Leopardstown all weekend. So I'm going to start with Frank. Good morning, Frank. Are you excited?
I'm very excited for the weekend, yeah.
Good man, good man. You don't sound that excited.
You can tell in his voice, can't you?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I'm just a bit unwell, but hopefully I'll be okay tomorrow.
You don't have to tell. You told us off air. You do not need to repeat that. That is fine. Frank has an upset stomach, everybody. So if you see him at the races tomorrow, buy him a dirty pint of Guinness. Right, the 12:45. That's been looking at Sunday's card, which is great. I'm way ahead of myself. Right, the first race we're going to look at is the 1:05, which is the first race kicking off the Dublin Racing Festival. And this is the Nat Lacey and Partner Solicitors. 50 grand Cheltenham bonus for stable staff, novice hurdle. Ruby, I might actually start with you because you were very familiar. You won that 50. Well, sorry, I'm not giving you all the credit. You were on the horse that won that 50 grand bonus, I think, the first year they did it, didn't you?
Let's Dance, was it?
I think it might have been Let's Dance. Yeah, because I remember it was the first thing you said when you got off the horse or whatever. I think you were very much aware of it, which is.
Yeah, what's my cost?
But anyway, I'm going to start with you, Ruby, if you want. It's like, I mean, the weekend has a bit of a Gordon versus Willie feel about it, but Gordon holds the aces in the very first race. Hollow Games and Manella Crooner are the top two. And I wanted to ask you, do you know what do you want? Why does it have no jockey? Does that suggest non-runner, or do we know?
I don't know, to tell you the truth, Paddy. I would assume there's some sort of an issue. I didn't ask, so I don't know. But it wouldn't be a great sign, no.
Okay, because that does change. Because What Do You Want is a 5-1 kind of third favourite at the minute, so there would be some sort of rule for if What Do You Want doesn't run. But anyway,
I put it this way. I didn't ask because I wasn't there and I just didn't have time, but I doubt with the amount of office staff, and I was there yesterday morning when the declarations were done, but I was gone after 10 o'clock, but I don't think it was an omission, so I would take it as a bad sign.
Okay, grand. But something will win. What'll win?
It's funny, you threw my train of thought there, actually. I was just kind of thinking, you know, the little jibes coming from Frank the whole time that Matt is really rubbing off on him. These few solo stints he's done with Matt, he's taken up his personality.
Not that bad, yes.
It just, you know, first straight away, what's Ruby's cut? I was thinking, Matt's not even on this, Chapman.
I'm just thinking,
my God, Matt is rubbing
dragging you down, Frank. Dragging you down.
What told you that's what he does.
Jesus. I was being very nice and saying, because I do remember he mentioned it first thing in his interview, the front of the first thing he said, and then you just came and ruined it all.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Anyway, going back to where we were, it's a funny one. I was watching the races back last night and I wasn't so sure that Hollow Games would turn the form with Grand Jury. Now, obviously, Henry's only had the two winners in the whole of January. Not as many favourites probably beaten as people might think, but I thought watching the next race that Grand Jury actually looked like he'd appreciate going two furlongs further as well. I thought beating Ardla over 2 miles was a decent enough performance at Punchestown when Grand Jury won his maiden. But purely when you root down into who's in the better form, it probably is Gordon over Henry, and that pushes you back towards Hollow Games. But I thought it was a tricky one. I know it's only 8 declarations, probably 7 runners. I thought it was still a tight enough affair.
Okay, so Hollow Games just about for Ruby. It's a 9-4 favourite at the moment, the time recording. So probably will shorten up a bit if What You Want doesn't or comes out of the race. Frank, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's going to change the betting make of the race too, because we're going to go down to 2 places, which isn't great. I was going to side with Eric Bloodaxe each way. Look, Hollow Games, I thought, would improve for stepping up and trip. I get what Ruby says. The Grand Jury probably Yeah, I think Gordon thought he should have been second, but I'd be with Ruby. I wouldn't be so certain he should have been second. But Eric Bloodaxe, Joseph has a decent enough record in the race. I think it's been four renewals since, you know, they moved up to 2 miles 6 and put it part of the Dublin Race Festival. He had the first winner, which was, if I can remember correctly,
Go Peace Colours. JJ's 11 on him.
Yeah. It's gone from, you know. He had a second then as well. Rhinestone was second the following year, and he had a big price won nowhere. But like, he's only had three runners in the race in 4 years, to the winner in the second. Eric Bloodaxe, obviously probably famous for beating Fernie Hollow in a bumper, but like, he's won two of his three races over hurdles. Ginto put him in his place at Navan over 2.5. He won the Grade Two at Limerick. It's normally a good pointer to Cheltenham in the future, but probably wasn't the strongest renewal of the race. But with Henry's horses a little bit out of form, what do you want? Not out, or not going to run likely. I don't know what to make of Bron and Manila Cocooner.
Crooner.
No, there's two of them.
Cocooner.
Cocooner is Willie's.
Oh, cheaper. So,
and
yeah.
Manila Cocooner is Gordon's.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. They have to improve, but like, they've only, you know, they're very likely races, every chance they will. But I just thought Eric Bloodaxe was a bit solid. It's a shame if there's only going to be seven. I think with eight, he'd be the one that hit the three anyway. Whether he's good enough to win, I'm not sure. But
okay, so Eric Bloodaxe tentatively for Frank, and very Ruby tentatively for Hollow Games. I would quite fancy Manila Crooner in that race. I thought that, you know, the 2.5 miles was obviously too short. Stayed on well, went second behind
Journey with me.
Journey with me, and then hacked up over 3 miles of that the next time. But anyway, that's for me, Manila Crooner. Right, moving swiftly on to the 135. This is a proper match, if there ever was one. So it looks in the betting anyway. We've got Phil Dore, who was definitely going to win the Triumph Hurdle until the stable companion came out and hacked up at Cheltenham the other day. And Vauban, so Phil Dore for Gordon Elliott is 5-4. Vauban for Willie Mullins is 6-4. So nothing between them. But Vauban's form has been obviously flanked by that one Pied Piper, who he ran to half a length. So there seems to be, is Phil Dore better than Pied Piper? Basically, is kind of the question, isn't it? I mean, there might be other factors to consider about whether the track will suit and all that kind of stuff. But what do you make of it, Frank?
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to know. Like, Vauban, there was very strong vibes for him prior to the run of Punchestown. We laid a fair bit of him in the Triumph itself. And he was very well backed on the day. Obviously, I think a lot of people feel that if he had jumped the last cleanly, he may have won. And he's been very strongly backed for the Triumph on the back of Pied Piper winning as well at Cheltenham. People are kind of putting two and two together and saying, you know, he may have beaten Pied Piper, and, you know, Pied Piper is whatever, 5-2, and he was 5-1. People have been backing him. I don't think it's that straightforward. Gordon said afterwards that Pied Piper had improved a fair bit for that run at Punchestown going to Cheltenham, and he's still adamant that Phil Dore is better, which is, yeah, it's interesting that he says that, because Pied Piper looked very useful. I think the one takeout you can take from that Cheltenham race is that the Irish juveniles are an absolute mile ahead of the English ones. That's what I take from it. I suppose it's very difficult to have a bet here, because Vauban is full of potential and he could well improve plenty. I just want to ask Ruby, the first time tongue tie, is there any worry there? Or
no, I wouldn't have thought so. Obviously, Paul felt it was required. And I'd say that's why he's wearing it. But I wouldn't be too worried about it. His work's been good. He's definitely schooled better since Punchestown with the run under his belt, and seems to be going in the right direction. But yeah, look, Pied Piper has really franked his form, but you're kind of wondering just how strong the English form is.
Yeah, I think it's very weak, the English form. But like, I suppose if you're looking from a pure price point of view, like, Phil Dore has the form in the book, albeit beating Lunar Power twice. Vauban is full of potential. If you're backing them in a match, I'd probably side with Phil Dore at the current prices. And I think if you're looking for a bet, I'm kind of going to go in the betting without the two of them and take them out of it. Like, you've got I Care Allen won a maiden hurdle here at Christmas. Valdali won on debut in Dieppe in France last August, has the mayor's allowance, first start for Willie, and he is Il Etet Temp. Another hatchet job there in the French pronunciation for me, but that was beaten in two
pumps. Il Etet Temp.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what they're like, but I Care Allen obviously could be quite useful. But I'm going to go with Noel Meads, Ben Segal, to win the race without the front two. He improved in the flat. I think he was rated 55 when he started off in handicaps, finished last season rated 78. I thought he was quite impressive on his hurdles debut, punched him in November. He won by 4.5 lengths. The likes of Prairie Dancer, Dr. Brown Bear, who ties him with Care Allen and Phil Doerr, Dr. Churchill, Gentleman Joe and Brazil behind. They're all useful enough juveniles. And he beat them very easy. I liked his attitude. He found plenty. That's a race that's been won by the likes of Aspire Tower, Land of Hope and Glory and Anna Follette in the last number of years. So it has been a decent enough pointer to the future with regards to juvenile hurdlers. Of course, Connections, Noel Mead and the owners had Jeff Kidder last season, who progressed to win a Boodles and then won the Grade 1 at Punchestown. I'm not saying he's capable of beating the front two, but I'm hoping he might finish third to the two of them.
Okay, so Ben Siegel in the Betting Without Two market for Frank, just to keep it simple. And then Ruby, would you be strong on Vauban?
I think Vauban's a good horse, but I've been a massive fan of Field Oars since I saw him beating C Sessions and Down Royal on his first start for Gordon. C Sessions went to 1 and 3, and then she was second the other day in Doncaster behind 6 feet apart and in front of White Pepper. I think that form is pretty strong. I don't think the juvenile of Fairy House has really run to suit him, but he still managed to beat Lunar Power, and he was much better here at Christmas when he beat Lunar Power again. I've been a massive fan of Field Oars, and I think he sets the standard and is the most likely winner. For me, price wise, I think I Care Allen each way is the value. I thought he was very impressive at Christmas. Could I see him beating Field Oar? Probably not, but Vauban is 6-4 and therefore isn't an each way price, whereas I Care Allen at 11-2 is an each way price. And you know, we're Field Oar to put his foot in top for a hurdle or into a hurdle or something, who knows what could happen. So I think the value is I Care Allen each way, but I think Field Oar will win the race.
Okay, very good, very good. This is good. We're staying away from the favourites pretty much, which is nice. The 210 is the Patrick Warden Co-Solicitors Irish Arkle Novice Chase. Blue Lord is favourite 13-8. Riviere Detel 2-1. And then Willie's got the next couple. We've got Haute d'Encolure 4-1. St. Sam 4-1. And it's 50s and bigger. Well, 50s the rest. So tiny bit surprised here that Riviere Detel is not favourite, Frank.
I'm not sure. Like, Blue Lord has been very impressive. And yeah, maybe she's achieved a little bit more, but Blue Lord obviously had better hurdles for him. And I think he's entitled to be favourite. He's been quite impressive in his two starts over fences. He would have been second in the Supreme if he hadn't tipped up at the last. So yeah, I don't know. I think he probably deserves to be favourite, particularly with Paul choosing to ride him. For me, I'm going to ignore the jockey bookings and hope Paul's got it wrong and go with Haute d'Encolure. I think it's significant. He made his debut for Willie in the Triumph Hurdle off the back of one run in France 6 months earlier, and I thought he ran a cracker. You could arguably say he travelled the best of them all. He was beaten third, beaten about 4 lengths that day. I think it was a good renewal of the Triumph. The second Adagio was second in the Grade Wood off a mark of 147. Zanahir has won a Grade 2 in Down Royal. Was beaten a neck in the Grade 1 Madison Hurdle behind Sharjah at Christmas. The fifth Tritonic won a valuable handicap hurdle at Ascot off a mark of 141. So it's worked out reasonably well. And for Haute d'Encolure to do that, you know, on his stable debut off a 6 month break, I think was really a testament to how much ability he might have. Look, he was a little bit disappointing, perhaps being third at Punchestown. You would have expected him to build on the Cheltenham run. But I think it's significant too that Willie's quoted saying he was quite disappointed with him in the two runs last year. And considering he was, you know, third in two Grade Ones, you know, they must obviously think an awful lot of him. I like the way he won at Christmas. Look, he jumped a little bit left. He could probably improve a little bit in his jumping. There was no major concerns, just went a bit left. And he easily beat Gentleman Demi and Mount Leinster. They're both rated 135. Yeah, he's very lightly raced. I think he's an improver, and I'm hoping he might be able to beat Blue Lord. And I'm going to have a few bob each way, or a few bob on him for the Arkle itself as well, hoping that, because I think whatever wins this is going to go, you know, a sharp price for the Arkle itself. And if you get the right one, you could be sitting on a lovely docket for Cheltenham.
Okay, so Haute d'Encolure, the second string of Willie Mullins, or so the betting suggests. Ruby, in terms of the Mullins horses, like I'm like Fernie Hollow is the one that Riviere Detel's form kind of stands up, or looks great because running Fernie Hollow relatively close. Like, is Blue Lord, could you say Fernie Hollow is much better than Blue Lord, or would you know yet, or is it just?
I think you had to go through Appreciator, Paddy, and that's the only real line you had. If you think Fernie Hollow beat Appreciator, the Cheltenham bumper, and if you look at how far then possibly Appreciator was ahead of Blue Lord, He was going to trounce him in the Supreme, and he fell at the last Blue Lord, and appreciated, you know, had beaten him here this time last year by 6 lengths as well in a novice hurdle. So I think that's in a roundabout way about the only handle I can get on it. And a bit like Frank, I was kind of, I think even for forerunners, and I know three of them are Willies and one are Gardens, I think that you could ask four people and get four different picks here. And I'm going for what looks to be the outsider of the four, and that's Saint Sam. I thought he's running the Fred Winter last year was brilliant. He tried to give Jeff Kidder a stone. He finished second to him. He came back then to Punchestown and was a little disappointing, but I thought he beat the Devil's Coachman, who's rated higher than Gentleman De Me impressively at Ferry House. Like Gentleman De Me is a 135 that Hot Dog Calour beat. Saint Sam beat the Devil's Coachman, who's a 142 hurdler. I just think Saint Sam looks to be possibly the forgotten one, and I think with all the water they've put on Leopardstown, he could be the strongest there of the trio Willies, and that's why I was going for him. It's picking one because I haven't a massively strong opinion on the four of them, but I'm coming down on Saint Sam's side for that reason.
It's one of those days, isn't it, where you look at the car and it's proper quality racing, but it's still, it's hard to just have one horse that jumps out at you, isn't it?
Most of the races, it is very tricky. And I was even trying to put that into an article for the Examiner tomorrow, and people will say, oh, it's the dominance of William Gordon. National racing has always been dominated by a few, with others getting in. I was even talking to Dad about it, and he was going back through history last night, going back years to people I never even heard. But I know they're dominant forces, but in the first race, you could say you're siding with Gordon and pick the wrong one. In the second race, you could side with Willies and be on the wrong one. In the third race, you could do the same thing. Picking the right one of theirs is going to be hard this weekend. And it's just really competitive racing, because there's lots, even like, we're only talking about the third race here, but we've talked about some seriously good horses.
Gets mad. So Paul Townend is a job. Well, you know the job well, but you wouldn't envy him too much having to make the choice with some of these.
Well, I'd say if I was getting a slap in the back of the head for every time I picked the wrong one, I'd still have the headache.
So would you pick St. Sam if you were the choice of the three of them, Ruby?
I don't think so. I'm only looking at it here from a tipping point of view. And often as a jockey, when you don't know, you probably look at it and think, well, if which one wins, would I feel more silly if I didn't ride? And that probably comes down to Blue Lord. I mean, yeah, how do you not ride Blue Lord? You can't not ride him, but that could the others beat him? Most definitely.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Right, this is, I just want to give a bit of a shout out to, I think it was our Instagram followers are named a couple of handicaps for us in the car. This one is particularly nice, very relevant. It's the Paddy Power, I'd love a can, but pints are cheaper handicap hurdles. Thank you very much for your ingenuity. It's kind of like Boaty McBoatface type of thing. Dun Boyne has been pretty well backed antipost, Frank, for this, for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. He's into 9-2 now, I think. I think he is into 9-2 now. He was much bigger. I just had, you know, was well behind Panda Boy, who's second favorite the last day. Panda Boy is 5-1, then Good Time Johnny 6-1. It's an open race, as you'd expect. I mean,
it's very competitive. Yeah, Dunboyne caught the eye. Or? He did catch the eye in the Pretemps qualifier at Christmas. My missus is actually from Dunboyne. so it's a horse that kind of had my eye on for that reason. But look, you can make a case for loads, and you have Panda Boy, Dunboyne, Good Time Johnny, What's Not to Know, Future Rage, and Priory Park, Right Place, Right Time. They'll all have their supports, and you can definitely make a case for them. I've come down the side of two. I've backed two, one earlier in the week and one yesterday. The first one's Unexpected Depth. Carrie's joined top weight here, but he was second in this last year behind Maze Runner of just a pound lower. He wears first-time cheek pieces here. He was third in the Pretemps qualifier at Leopardstown last season off a mark of 138. It's a decent course record. He made a season reappearance here at Christmas in the Pretemps qualifier. He was ninth. Wasn't disgraced. But if you go back and watch the race, he's like ridden about 10 horses wide the whole way around. I mean, they're coming into the swing at the bottom and turning in. He must be at least 10 horses wide. And then when he comes to the last, the jockey switches him right into the rail, and he runs up the back of something, and he kind of lets him come home in his own time. I think he was value for finishing a good bit closer. I think he could have hit maybe the first five with a clearer run, and considering how much extra ground he covered, I thought it was a massive run. He's about 14-1. We're paying six places here. I thought he could probably hit the frame. And the one I backed then yesterday is Enjoy Dallin for Kieran Murphy. He ran a cracker in the Paddy Power over fence here Christmas off a market of 145. He was third. It was a big price. I think it was like 28 to 1. He's improved hugely for the stable switch and for going chasing and stepping up and trip. I think when Kieran Murphy got him, he was rated 119. He's now up to 148 over fences. And look, he's a much lower hurdle tomorrow. I don't think it's the simplest thing. Oh, he's 148 over fences. He's 116 over hurdles. So he's 32 pounds in hand. It's not that simple. He's obviously a better chaser. But the only thing I would say is he hasn't had the opportunity to show if he's improved over hurdles as well, really, because his only run over hurdles for the yard was over 2.5 miles on his reappearance this year when he was a staying on seventh, I think. And that was surely just a prep for the Paddy Power. Now, when you look at how well treated he potentially could be off a mark of 116, he's very interesting. He was a biggest price yesterday. He has been backed in from 25s to 10s, but he would look to have a big chance if he could go, like, even if he got within a stone of his chase form.
He's bang there.
Yeah.
Okay. Two for Frank Ruby.
I was with one of them. I was with NJoy Dallin as well. I tipped him each way into Paddy Power. I thought he ran a cracking race. I think he has some strong, his chase form is strong, his hurdle form is weak, but look, he has definitely improved, as Frank has said. And Frank made the case. I'm only backing it up. But I was with NJoy Dallin as well.
Okay, lovely, lovely. We're on to the big race next, the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. I think this is actually the potential to be a mad race because you've got plenty of pace on here. You've got Frodon's come over for Paul Nichols and Briony Frost has just heading the betting at 3-1, a steering for Lounge 7-2, and Elinda's second 7-2 as well. It's Ken Boy's up there as well. It's one of those races that there's plenty of pace on. Could this like fall apart towards the end and give us a head scratcher of a result? I mean, I don't know. Like, Frank, is Paul Nichols, I mean, fair play to him for sending them over and everything, but he's kind of a little bit out of form, is he? I mean, just there's loads of question marks about this race. It's just not straightforward.
A little bit out of form, but Ruby will tell you more. But Paul gives his horse a jab in January, and there can be a tiny bit of a dip. Now, I would expect him to start coming out of it now, but Ruby will be able to tell you more on that. I wouldn't be
they do.
Worried.
They do. Obviously, horses have to be vaccinated. It's compulsory. It's not a choice for race horses. They have to be vaccinated, flu-vacced. And up until the outbreak of the equine flu in France, they had to be boosted once every 12 months. But some trainers do boost them every 6 months. And Paul Nichols always worked that way. So he's always got a flu vaccine after they ran at Christmas, between Christmas and the New Year's in that week, depending on where they were running. And obviously the ones that were due to run very early in January wouldn't. But the race and the calendar in England, it's not exceptionally hot early in January. And that's why Paul Nichols did it then. So he mightn't be having that many winners, but I'd be surprised if he was having a huge amount of runners. And what he would be running would be more so his lesser horses than his better ones.
Very fair.
Yep. Okay, so you won't be too worried. So my looking at how he's running at 8% or whatever, just don't worry about that.
I used to look forward to January, knowing that you'd have the odd easy week when I was riding for pockets.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, listen, Ruby, you keep going, you keep talking. Tell us about this race. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I do. I know what you're saying, Paddy, but I think you have to also look at who's riding in the race. And the two obvious front runners are Briony Frost and on Frodon and Paul Townend on Kenboy. Now, look, they got it wrong in the King George. Everybody makes a mistake, but I can't see Briony doing it twice, and you rarely see Paul Townend going too hard. So whilst they both might get on the front end, they will both also be aware of conserving something to get home. So I don't see them cutting each other's throats or making the other go too fast. I could see them sitting upsides, but I can see both hanging on. And I think that of the horses in the race, it's most likely to be both of their Gold Cups. Frodon is not a Cheltenham Gold Cup horse. Kenboy has proved he isn't either. And this is their big chance. So I think it's the two of those with the front end, and it's D-Day for both of them. And purely on jumping, and Kenboy will always have a place in my heart, but Frodon's a better jumper. And I know Kenboy's a great record in Leopardstown, but he's gotten it easy the twice he's won and made all at Leopardstown. That's not going to happen on tomorrow. And I'd be with the Frodon camp because I think he'll just outjump Kenboy.
Okay, Frodon for Ruby. Frank?
Yeah, I think it's tricky. Look, Asterion Flange is probably the one horse in here that could blow the race wide open. He has, look, he's obviously got loads of ability, but like you look at his handicap win at Punchdown at the end of last season off a mark of 152, he won by 14 lengths. He looked like he was coming to win the John Durkin when he unseated three out, and he was running a cracker in the King George when he came down at the last. Look, he was probably going to be second. I don't think he would have caught Tornado Flyer. Look, if he was to jump well and get around, he's a big player, but it's a huge if. So I don't think you can back him with any confidence looking at the price. I'd agree at Ruby that I'd probably fancy Frodon more than Kenboy. Manila Indo has a bit to prove. Look, like if you look at last year, he ran okay in this race and then went on to win a Gold Cup. I think he just needs to put in some sort of a clear round and show a bit of something anyway to give him a chance of retaining his Gold Cup. I think it's interesting they've booked like Robbie Power. I thought it was a bit strange. Again, Ruby Bale will tell you more than this, but he's only had three rides since he's come back from injury, as far as I can see. And is he potentially lacking in a bit of race fitness himself?
I wouldn't have thought so, Frank. I doubt he's overly busy the weekend, so you're not going to tire him out early in the card. Just a couple of different ways of looking at it. They've obviously decided, or Connections have decided, they want whoever rides Manila Indo in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup to ride him in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And that's fine. They want continuity. But to me, it's a brilliant chance for Robbie Power, and I'm delighted for him. You know, he's one of the few lads in the Wareham now that would have been there when I was there. And I consider him a friend and somebody I admire. But when you look at the other side, why would you do something different with Manila Indo to what you did last year? So if you think Rachel rode him here last year, she then opted for a Plutar and Jack Kennedy rode him. So like potentially you've gone for a new jockey in Robbie Power, and he's a brilliant rider and he's going to get to know the horse. But there's every chance come Gold Cup day, he could have had one or the other of the two people who've ridden him all his career, that be it Rachel Blackmore or Jack Kennedy. And last year proved that he's an easy horse to get to know, because Jack Kennedy had only jumped two fences on him in Henry de Bromhead's and went and won the Gold Cup on him. So you're looking at the logic and we can see that they want continuity, but I just don't know why they changed from what they did last year.
Yeah, I'd agree, because I think there's every chance Jack Kennedy will be available for the Gold Cup, isn't there?
That'd have to be. But look, we're from the outside looking in, and that would probably have been the way I would have done it. But it's a massive opportunity for Robbie Power, and I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, from a betting point of view, I think it's very tricky. I'm going to give Janadil one last chance. Look, it looked like he didn't stay in the Savills Chase at Christmas. But he definitely, like when I'm comparing him to Asterion Flange, is the difference in ability reflected in the prices? And I don't think so. I don't think there's that much between them as the prices suggest. And if Janadil were to stay, look, it's a big if. He's only had two tries at 3 miles in Albert Barrett when he was ridden cold and stayed on into fifth, and in the Savills Chase at Christmas where it appeared he didn't stay. I still think there's a chance he might stay. Just looking at, say, the price of Asterion Flange at 7-2, 4-1, and Janadil, is he 11-1, I think? There's a big difference, considering I don't think there's that much of a difference in ability. So I'm going to give Janadil one last chance to prove he can stay 3 miles.
Okay, Janadil for Frank and Frodon for Ruby. Okay, two to go on Saturday. The next race is the 2 mile one handicap chase. This is the Paddy Power I'm never going back to the office handicap chase. And it is a wide open race, as you would expect. Ruby, we'll start with you this time. What do you make of this? There's only nine runners, I think, so it's not that difficult to pick the winner, maybe.
Very small entry, only 14 entered, nine declared. Look, Willie skipped taking on Cour Sublime last Thursday at Goran Park with Mount Leinster and kept him for this. He's 11-3, a rating of 135. His jumping has been, it was erratic at Navan when Capard beat him. He was okay at Wexford, jumped much better at Christmas behind Hotton Calour. But look, 135 after the second race on Saturday afternoon, the Photon Calour, Frank's fancy, goes and bolts in. It's going to look a pretty reasonable mark. And does there look to be something really unexposed here? I'm not so sure there is. Grange Walk went up 7 for winning at Christmas and then fell at Fairy House. Capucha Mix was maybe getting into the race behind Don Vegan when he fell in the Dan Moore, but he has to prove he's in good form. A Wave of the Sea has looked like a horse that wants a bit further now. Exit Poll bangs on the door most days, but has he much in hand? I'm not sure he does. Jack Foley rode him at Christmas when he claimed 5 off and behind Grange Walk, claims 5 again. Batsio is a bit in and out. Showtime is the same. You're down to Revelin Pleasure and Stansfield. It doesn't look the strongest race. And the one potential horse with scope to improve here, I think, on his mark is Mount Leinster, if he keeps it all together.
Well, I intro the race and it's a wide open race. Mount Leinster's probably going to be about 6-4 favourite in that handicap chase. So it's the opposite of wide open. Ruby going for Mount Leinster. Frank, would you agree? Do you concur?
Look, he's the one horse that could be, you know, really well treated in there. I think, like, I know the British trainers are probably sick of the sight of Irish horses, but I think they've missed a trick here in that.
Oh, massive
like, this
trick.
Is a 59 grand to the winner race, and the 2 mile handicap division over fences isn't deep in Ireland, because the majority of the good, like the horse that'll be going for the Grand Annual, etc., Cheltenham and the Red Rum at Aintree, are probably the horses that are running, you know, third, fourth in novice races here and will be making handicap debut at Cheltenham and Aintree. And this race just looks so weak, and I think there's one in Sandown for £15,000 being run tomorrow. And, like, you know, if you took two or three from the front of the market here and put them in here, they'd probably be second favourite behind Mount Leinster. So I definitely think they missed a trick. But back to the race, look, Mount Leinster is the one that looks well treated. Your only concern would be he's only won once from 8 starts over jumps. His mark could be potentially very lenient, but at the price, I'd probably swerve him, and I'm going to take an absolute shot in the dark here and side for the Rag of the Field, Stansfield. He's very in and out. He did run okay in a rated novice chase at Leopardstown last March, went third, and prior to that he'd beaten Cavalry Master at Down Royal on heavy ground. Cavalry Master's now rated 138, albeit mainly because he's improved for stepping up and trip. But the angle here is Sam Ewing's takes the ride, and I just think he's going to make it into a top-class jockey. He's been absolutely brilliant the last few weeks. So winners at 40-1 and 7-1 over jumps. He's a horse's place at 25, 15-2, 13-2, 40s and 50s. He's just a really good jockey, and I'm not sure the market's copped onto it maybe just yet. The horse gets in off 10-1. Look, I'm not saying he's going to win, but there are bits and pieces. Like, I think the last day at Nace, he was over, and his last run over fences, sorry, he was travelling all right when he came down 3 out. Look, they were all kind of travelling all right. I don't think they went overly strong a pace. But with the race not being overly deep, I just wouldn't be shocked if he finished in the first 3, and he's 33-1. So, yeah, I'm going to have a 5 reach weight in him.
Okay, I like the look of this now. I think some decent prices have been knocking around. So you can have a few quid on the nose of Mount Leinster and a sneaky each way on Stansfield as well. And then the lucky last, the bumper. And I know Ruby Willie's one, Facile Vega, is going to be all the rage here. But actually, it might be as straightforward as the betting might suggest, because, I mean, it's what unites us. It's been pretty impressive, and I think it's highly well thought of. And also Sandor Clegane, Paul Nolan's stable, absolutely flying. And that one hacked up the last day at Punchestown as well. So this is probably a decent bumper, isn't it?
Oh, it is. 7 runners, 6 winners, 1 dual winner being the big Dion, who's won at Roscommon and bolted in then at Punchestown with a big cool survivor. Yeah, it is a really decent race. Interesting, Barry O'Neill has opted for Sandor Clegane. He also won on the big Dion, so Derek O'Connor takes the ride on him. Willie has a couple in there as well. Embassy Gardens struggled at Christmas but got the job done, and he has improved. I know Gordon's team like It's What Unites Us, but I think Facile Vega has improved a bit from Christmas, and that should be good enough out of Cui Vega by walking the park. We like him. We really like him.
He sounds pretty bullish there, Frank. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, he was very good at Christmas, and he's obviously bred for the job. And the second from Christmas has come out and won nicely in Navan since. The big Dion has to concede £3 penalty to the rest of the field here. Which isn't going to make his task that easy.
I'd like to give our best well wishes to the nice bunch of lads who own
the great bunch of lads. Yeah. Look, I even saw a tweet from one of the owners saying he couldn't imagine he'd have a horse, you know, when he set up the syndicate, running in a 100 grand race. And fair play to him. Hopefully he gives a good run and books his ticket to Cheltenham. I think from a betting point of view, Facile Vega short enough. As good as he is, we just don't know how good the rest could be either. And a 4-5, I'd be happy to let that go. And what I'd probably do is have a tiny win bet on Sandor Clegane and back him without Fasal Vega as well. I was really taken by the way he won at Punchtown. Again, probably wasn't the deepest bumper ever. The fourth has won a maiden hurdle since Willie's horse Glengooly, and the eighth from that race is placed on his next two bumper starts. So there is some bit of, you know, form come from it. When I looked at the time, Santa Clican, he won in 3:55.1 carrying 12 stone and in the rated novice hurdle on the card over the same distance. Top Bandit carried 11:05 and was over 13 seconds slower. Look, you have to factor in the jumps as well, but the time was pretty decent. As Ruby's already alluded to there, Barry O'Neill probably had the choice of the two and picked him. So, I'd have a small win bet and maybe a bigger bet in the without Fasal Vega market for Sander Clegane.
Pity there's not eight runners, isn't it? Anyway, okay, that's Saturday done and dusted. We probably have to squeeze an ad in here, so we'll be back with Sunday just after this.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+BeGambleAware.org.
Right, back at it, lads. Sunday, we're starting a bit earlier, 12:45. Set your alarms. Hope you don't have too late a night on Saturday night. But we're straight in with the Paddy Mullins Mare's Handicap Hurdle at 12:45. Party Central is favourite for Gordon Elliott. And then Brides Hill for Gavin Cromwell is next to 5-1 and 7-1 and bigger than the rest. Load of runners in this race. So it's a lot of big price ones that maybe don't count. I mean, it might be top of the market race, Frank. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it's difficult enough to look beyond Party Central. Won her bumper on debut for Roger McGrath Tipperary. The Morans picked her up at centre to Gordon. She was second in a list of mares bumper at Navan. Was only a neck behind Grangy in the grade two mares bumper on this card last year. She likes a brandy love and take tea behind. She finished the season winning a list of mares bumper at Fairy House. She's won two of her three starts over hurdles. I think she had an excuse at Down Royal when she was beaten in that grade three. Coming to the second last, just got squeezed and she jumped right and glanced. Jumped left and she jumped into the back of Glenn and Davey just basically eased her up nearly straight away. So I wouldn't really, I put a line through that run. I thought she won far more convincingly than the head distance would suggest the last day at Punchestown. I think she idled close home and she was valued for further. I think this trip just under 2.25 miles is going to be ideal for her, and I'd suggest a mark of 121 is very lenient. She's going to be hard to beat. And for those who like their anti-post betting, I think there's, like, we're not non-run no bet yet, but she's 16-1 non-run no bet. I think that wouldn't be the worst bet in the world when you consider if she wins, she'll be probably half that price or even shorter potentially. And if she gets beaten, she's very unlikely to run. So it looks a very, you know, risk-free sort of bet if you like an anti-post bet.
Okay. Party Central, pretty strong for Frank Ruby. No Willie Mullins runner in this in a mare's race. It's unusual, is it?
No, we don't have anything well enough handicapped. Party Central's mark is very attractive of 121. My one worry would be her lack of experience in a big field handicap. And that would point you to two mares that were also in the north in that novice hurdle behind Impervious, which were Glan and Sit Down Lucy. Now, both are worse off with Party Central for that, but both have had a run behind Gua de Large at the Fairy House in December in that big handicap hurdle there. Glan came from a long way back and just failed, whereas Sit Down Lucy was always up there on the pace and got reeled in. And I think maybe I'd side with Glan just purely because of the experience she has that Party Central doesn't have.
Okay, so Glan for Ruby, Party Central for Frank. 120 race, the Ladbrokes Novice Chase, the first grade one of Sunday. This is like Galopin Deschamps, Ruby. I mean, there's a load of talk about Master McShee, great fairy tale story and everything, but Galopin Deschamps was the horse of Christmas, wasn't he?
He left the impression on you at Christmas that he could just be different to the rest. And look, this is a much stronger contest. Master McShee was winning down in Limerick while grade one, while Galopin Deschamps was winning the beginner's chase. Fury Road won the grade one in Leopardstown over 3 miles. Capodanno has chased home Bob Ollinger, and Beacon Edge won the Drinmore. You also have French Dynamite, who's a good horse in his day. Gaillard de Menil probably hasn't scaled the same height over fences as he did over hurdles. This is a much stronger race than the one that Galopin Deschamps won at Christmas, but he just left that impression that this is what he was made to do, and I find them impossible to oppose.
Okay, Frank, straightforward.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a really good race, but Galopin Deschamps looked special at Christmas, and
you kind of hope you hope that bubble's not burst, don't you? Because you just think,
yeah,
like, wow,
yeah, And you can see as well, if you're looking at the anti-post markets, Ruby's comments in the anti-post podcast on Monday, I've seen Gallop and Deschamps shorten right up for the Turners. I think we might even be best priced now at 2-1. I think he was 4-1 on Monday. So if he goes out and jumps well and wins nicely again, the clash with Bob Ollinger might be on. I think everyone wants to see it. It'd be a cracker. But yeah, look, as competitive a race as it is, Gallop and Deschamps does look like he has that, you know, bit of star X quality factor about him. Yeah, X factor. And yeah, you'd be a little bit disappointed if he got beaten. But if he's anywhere near in the form he was at Christmas, I don't think he will get beaten.
I think I was only really warning caution as much as anything else.
Yeah, I know, like, but people have latched on that he's definitely going to the Turners. But
no, yeah. To me, it was pure caution. Like he was so short in the 3 miles that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back the other way. But it was to me, he was underpriced in one and overpriced in the other. And until Sunday, no one, and you mightn't even find out on Sunday which way he's going to go. Yeah. I can't imagine Winnie Mullins will commit. But anyway, look, if people have latched on, so be it.
That's anti-post betting, like, you know, one thing can get people just ploughing in. But yeah.
Right. Grade one action continues fast and furious. And so there's 8 races to look forward to. And the third one on the card is the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase. Another grade one, 2 mile, 1 furlong. Another English raider, Grenadine's come over for Paul Nicholls. But Chacun Pour Soi is on a recovery mission. And it's going to be likely maybe a touch of odds on around even money favourite here. So Chacun, Ruby, how is he? All systems
down? Yeah, he's in great form. But he's on a recovery mission. And he has doubters to silence. And I don't think whatever he does on Sunday is going to silence every doubter. But look, he's in great form. That said, Paddy, I'd have told you he was in great form going to the Tingle Creek and he ran absolutely no race. Grenadine beat him on that occasion. Paul Nicholls obviously isn't afraid of Chacun, so he's sending Grenadine to take him on. But he's in great form. He likes Leopardstown. He's a good record at the track. And a bit like Gallop in the Champ, I most certainly couldn't oppose him.
Okay, Chacun for Ruby. Frank?
Yeah, look, he's disappointed in the champion chase in Tingle Creek and I don't know. Maybe it's just he doesn't, you know, travel well. I'm not sure. But you can't knock his record in Ireland. He's only been beaten by Absolute Tire in 8 starts here. He's beaten the likes of Alaho Min, Fakir Dudery, Defi Desai. You'd imagine he'd be back to his best. And if he is, he'll take all the beating.
Okay. Relatively straightforward. Favourite after favourite. The second and third races. Then the fourth race is the Bulmers Secret Orchard Leopardstown Handicap Chase. Always a very competitive race. Blackbow, Willie Mullins the favourite here, 4-1. Birchdale, 11-2. 32, Max Flamingo. Ruby, Blackbow, a gorgeous looking horse, they always said. Looks like a movie star, but maybe it's been a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a step up and triple suit him, Paddy. He was obviously second in the Danmore behind Dunvegan over 2 miles and one. If Ferryhouse steps up here to 2.5, maybe that's what he wants. I think Max Flamingo is interesting for Francis Casey. Thought he ran well over 3 miles here at Christmas. Maybe he just didn't get home. Had a good run behind Lieutenant Command at Ferryhouse in the beginners and behind Gabby Nacco. Think he's a good runner. Thought Gallant John Joe ran well for a long way behind Bob Ollinger and Capitano in a novice chase at Punchestown. The Shunters of interest. Haven't seen him since he was fought in the Galway Plate. A really competitive race. At a push, I'd probably side with Max Flamingo.
Max Flamingo for Ruby. Frank, and catch your eye here. Do I see the Grand National winners in there as well?
Yeah, look, they're probably working back from the entry again with him. Max Flamingo's definitely very interesting, but I'm going to go with Rebel Gold. Look, you look at his form figures, you might be saying, where's Frank coming with this? It's PP7F2, but he was an excellent second in the Tim Duggan at Limerick.
Sounds like your password, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. It's not great, like, is it? But I thought it was a really good run at Limerick. He was only beaten half a length behind Spyglass Haley's 3 pounds better off with him now. If you go back and watch it, I think Kyle Lanner's rolled it. He was riding him like to get him late, you know, very quiet until coming to the last, and just in the heavy ground he couldn't pick up quick enough to get Spyglass Haley. I think in another 100 yards he'd have got him. I'd be, you know, pretty hopeful he could reverse that form at least. He travelled really well that day. Prior to that, he was going really well at Gorn in a decent handicap chase when he fell 3 out. He's still unexposed over fence. He's only had 7 starts. You go back even to last year in a beginner's chase at Punchestown. He was third, beating 8.5 lengths behind Asterion Falange. The now 157 rated Conflated was second. Schoolboy Hours, who won the Paddy Power, who's now rated 142, was in fourth. And Brayside, who's rated 145, was fifth. So it was a decent effort. He's shown he has a, you know, a bit of ability. One small concern would be that most of his running's been right-handed, but he hasn't had that many runs left-handed, you know, to suggest he can't go that way or he can't run up to his best that way. And he's won over he's won on good ground over hurdles as well, so that shouldn't be an issue. I really like the way he shaped last time at Limerick and the way he was shaping at Gorn when he tipped up and off just 3 pounds higher. Again, I think he's around the 14, 16 to 1 mark, and we're likely to be 5 places here, I'd imagine. So he'd do for me each way.
Rebel Gold each way for Frank, and Max Flamingo also an each way price for Ruby. The 3 o'clock at Leopardstown is return of one of the most popular horses in training, Honeysuckle, in the Chanel Pharma Irish Champion Hurdle, Grade One. The field has depleted. They have run scared a little bit of Honeysuckle. She's 4 to 11. Zanahir is 7 to 2. Saint Roy, whatever, is 9 to 1. Echoes and Rain, 20 to 1. And Heaven Help Us, 50 to 1. So only 5 runners here. Ruby, straightforward enough for Honeysuckle, you would think, or can Zanahir give her a fright?
Honeysuckle.
All the way. We've said it 100 times before. I don't even need to go through it.
Not for me, anyway.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, Honeysuckle, Zanahir probably finished second. Is appreciated okay, Ruby? Or is it just...
No, he is. I'd say just really didn't...
Fancy going that high first time.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, you're going to take on Honeysuckle, who's had a run under a belt with a horse that hasn't had a run in 10 months. It's going to be a big ask, a modern indentation with that leave in him going forward. So you'd like a softer place to start, and that most certainly wasn't it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can look forward to that clash a little bit later in the season, maybe. 3:35 at Leopardstown is the Tattersalls Ireland Novice Hurdle, another Grade One. So cracking days racing on Sunday. Sir Gerhardt here is the favourite of 5 to 4. Three Striped Life is 9 to 2. El Fabiolo is 5 to 1. No jockey up on that one, so may not turn up. My Mate Mozzie is 6 to 1 for Gavin Cromwell, Sean Flanagan.
The decks haven't closed yet. 12 o'clock.
Okay,
There's no one on Statuaire or Far Out either.
That's a good point. Okay, that they're just taking their time choosing the jockeys, right? So Sir Gerhardt anyway is the favourite. That's going to be number one for the Mullins yard, regardless of whether the jockey's jocked up and the other ones are not. Sir Gerhardt, I'm assuming, is in great form, et cetera, et cetera. Ruby?
I think he is. He worked well in the Curragh the other morning. I think he's a really good racehorse. His form last year was solid. He was impressive in his maiden hurdle, albeit if you want to crab him, he did look like he hung a bit to his left. But I think he's a hell of a good horse, and he'll do me every day. I know Three Striped Life was possibly a little unlucky at Christmas behind Mighty Potter, but I think Sir Gerhardt is, I'll be sticking him in there with Honeysuckle and Gallop in the Champ. That's a Chapman shorty, isn't it?
What about Shacken now
for the Hume? Yeah, there's
what could possibly go wrong? 4 horse of Hume and all the jollies. Frank,
bet. I'm just looking here, Paddy. Sorry, what's Frank, before we get to you. El Fabiolo is Sean O'Keefe, Far Out, okay. Brian Hayes, and Statuaire, Danny Mullins.
Okay, there you go. Sorry, I take it all back. Frank.
Yeah, look, I think you have to take note when Ruby sort of got a glint in his eye speaking about a horse like that, and particularly when you think, you know, everyone was so taken with Dicer Dynamo and the potential that Sir Gerhardt's a better fit for the Supreme. I think that's telling you all you need to know, because Dicer Dynamo looks, you know, really, really good. And Sir Gerhardt, you look at his record, his only defeat has been in that Punchtown bumper when he was third. He was a good winner of the Champion bumper. It's a good race, but the likes of El Fabiola and a few of them are dangerous, but you get the feeling Sir Gerhardt's a good bit clearer of them.
Okay. So Sir Gerhardt, unanimous decision. Pretty confident, I would have said. We got the Liffey Handicap Hurdle next. 2 mile handicap hurdle. It is a 6 to 1 the field race. So best of luck. Get the pins out. Frank, start with you.
Oh, I love this sort of race. Now, I'm going to go with... I think we're very likely to be at least 6 places here as well. Look, we're recording a bit early, so it's not confirmed yet, but I'd be surprised if we aren't. And I'm going to go with 2 against the field.
I have a stab at one of them there just to guess what you're going to go for.
Go on. You can guess one of them.
Sea Ducker.
Yeah. That's just more can't let him go. We start with him. So, look, he's developing into a cliff horse of mine. But I can't give up on him just yet. He was weak enough in the market at Christmas, and the run kind of suggested it was needed. He hadn't had a run since disappointing on the flat at the Curragh, so he had a 5-month break. He's only had 4 starts over hurdles, and they were like a second Aspire Tower on debut when he was well backed. He beat Gallop in the Champ in Gorn, after a year off, and was second to Master Maxi in a Leopardstown handicap last Christmas off a mark of 132. And of course, Master Maxi has gone on and won a grade one over fences, and he was running off 132 that day as well. So you look at all that, you think this Sea Ducker's definitely got potential to be well handicapped off a mark of 133. And considering he's only had the four runs over hurdles, I think it's a bit too early to abandon him. And the other one I liked was Coltor for Dermot Weld. Sam Ewing, who we spoke about already, he's booked, which I think is interesting. Coltor is very lightly raced well, only had five starts over hurdles. He was fifth in the Boodles off a mark of 127. That looked a decent enough renewal of the Boodles when you consider Jeff Kidder went on to win a grade one, and St. Sam has looked good over fences since. And he was staying on strongly that day as well. He ran the Potemps qualifier at Christmas. He was pulled up. Maybe he needed the run. Maybe the trip is too far. But they've dropped him right back down to 2 miles here. And considering he's rated 90 on the flat, like he won a competitive Galway handicap off 83 at the festival over 2 miles and a furlong on the flat in the summer, you think there's a bit of mileage in that mark of 127. I think the strong pace here will suit. And with that ex and young jockey up, Coulter again, he's another decent enough pricing. He's 16 or 20 to 1.
He is 20 to 1. So you've got a 16 to 1 shot and a 20 to 1 shot time recording.
Maybe my two against the field each way, yeah.
You're allowed to do that, Ruby.
This is the kind of race, Paddy, that I'd be just getting a cup of coffee and looking up at the big screen thinking, thank God I'm not out there in the middle of them. 28 of them absolutely hurtling around. What did I fancy? I suppose my eye was drawn to Sea Ducker, knowing that Frank would be going in that direction from very early on when I started looking at these declarations. But I thought Esky Lane, I know he's crept up the weights. He's up to 145. He's up 11 pounds. He's winning Down Royal. And he's got 11 on his back. Probably hard enough to see that. But I did think he was a horse that I'm going to go with Esky Lane each way.
Each way price again, anyways. 14
yeah, but
to
I
one
don't
shots.
Have a strong opinion on the rest.
Okay, perfect. That's allowed. Okay, and then the lucky last is the 440 race, which is the Coolmore National on Sire Santiago Irish EBF Mares Irish National on Flat Race, the bumper. Grade 2 bumper. Funny enough, Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins have the favourite, Pink in the Park. And then we have Harmonia Maker for Gordon Elliott, 9 to 2. Sorry, Pink the Bark's 11 to 8 favorite at the time of recording, by the way. Ava Grace for Willie Mullins and Jane Tennant is 7 to 1, and it's 10 to 1 and bigger the rest. So Pink in the Park, is this a good one, Ruby?
I'd say Jody Towner would be delighted with you. I think you're married to Jane, are you?
Sorry, I'm married to Jane. It just, whatever. Yeah. I'm not allowed to say any girl's name beginning with J unless it's Jane.
The only thing is, it'd be a lot worse if you did it the other way around and called your missus the wrong name.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. That is a schoolboy error.
What do I think? Pink in the Park.
Yeah, but what do you think of Pink in the Park, I said?
I think Pink in the Park will win.
Right. And do you think that, like, I won't even bother looking at the rest of them because Pink in the Park is pretty good at home?
I loved her going to the stall. She bolted him and she beat Princess Sophia. I know Princess Sophia dwelt at the start on that occasion. She beat her 14 lengths, but I think she's a really good filly. And Ava Grace is working well, definitely going in the right direction by walking the park, as is Pink in the Park. But I'm a Pink in the Park fan.
Pink in the Park, Frank.
Yeah, sometimes you have to take note when the left
the way he says
is
it, isn't
telling
it?
You everything you need to know there. And I was going to tip up Harmonia Maker, but I might just hope it gets out to 5 to 1 and back it each way instead. Because, look, Pink in the Park was very good in the stall. She won very easily. I don't know, was she off by design or did she have a little setback or whatever? But she looked very good. But I thought Harmonia Maker, she was pitched into Listed Bumper at Navan on debut. She was second, beaten by the model Kingdom. Jamie Codd kind of felt he could have won the race, and if he had it back, he'd think he could have won it if he gave her a bit of a different ride. She made no mistake the next time at Punchestown. She won by 12 lengths. Look, it didn't look the strongest bumper, but the way she won was very impressive. And look, you have to take note when Ruby's so bullish about one.
The pressure's on your shoulders, Ruby. You're the one moving markets for Cheltenham. You're the one with the twinkle in your eye that nobody can see because they're listening on a podcast.
They'll soon figure out that.
Well, they always say you never take a tip off a jockey, but you're not a jockey anymore, so you're grand.
No, yeah, exactly.
Right, listen, lads, I have to get naps off you. Sorry, I don't want to sound like it's a chore. I want to get naps off you as well. We didn't do a nap for Saturday. I would kind of like to get a nap for each day if you can. It sounds like Sunday is going to be a stronger fancy for both of you, maybe. But if you could give us your best bet on Saturday and your best bet on Sunday, and then which one of them is your number one for the weekend, that'd be great. Let's start with Ruby.
Oh, thanks. I suppose you're going abs. I think Fieldor is the nap on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think he'd be hard to beat. And I fully expect Bully to have a couple of winners, but I could give you the wrong ones of those, definitely on Saturday. And on Sunday, I think you could nap any one of five on Sunday very easily. Gallop and Deschamps, Shark and Poursois, Honeysuckle, Sir Gerhard, Pink in the Park, take your pick.
Wow. Okay. So it's going to be a good day on Sunday. Good day, bad day for the bookies on Sunday, I'd say, if they all go in. Frank?
Enjoy Dallin, nap on Saturday.
Okay. Wow.
In the handicap hurdle. And I'll go with Party Central in the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle on Sunday, 12:45.
Get out of the way early. Perfect. Okay, that's great. Thank you, gentlemen. So, Naps, enjoy Dallin. Big prize for Frank on Saturday, Party Central. Ruby, Fieldor on Saturday and on Sunday. He said, listen, just back to Willie Mullins' bandwagon. There's a good few shorties in there. You can do it an L multiple or something if you fancy it. But that is it for Frank and Ruby. We're going to be seeing you both at the track in the morning. Looking forward to it. And don't forget to watch the Paul Carberry. Rewind show on the Paddy Power YouTube, and the link is in the show notes here. And always remember, most importantly, to gamble responsibly. And we shall talk to you soon. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck.
Cheers, Paddy.